Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
I'm J Clone 70.
Woo! Welcome to our last normal episode of the season. Last full Monday episode.
Okay.
Because next Monday will be the smaller version we do leading into the season finale.
Gotcha. Okay.
Are you excited for the season finale?
Very.
They get bigger every year.
This one sounds big.
I have no idea. I've not finished it. It's 2.5 weeks been working on it. Not finished it.
That means it's big.
It's 139 pages right now.
Well, they better be entertaining because
I think
that's a long time.
I think half the fun is how tired we get by the end of it. And I haven't done the final episode whatsoever.
Yeah. When we're on fumes.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah.
Well, Mothman.
You went to basin.
Yeah.
Interdimensional. Weird ground.
Interdimensional dirt. Sandwiches flying. And
yeah. So this episode, we're going to take a nice, easy relax and do the season finale.
Like a Freaky Fauna Friday relaxation?
Not quite that relaxed.
Oh.
But we're going to talk about the mysterious case of Ned's dead body. Do you know who Ned is?
Ned. I know Ned, like the organization Ned. Like,
which is what?
They're like the, I think it's a political, like, Ned. I think they're involved with, like, military action across the globe.
Sure.
I have no idea.
I
don't know for sure either.
No, this was actually suggested by Bill from Patreon. He literally put it in the group chat the other day, I think like 3 days ago as of recording this. And I'm like, yeah, we will do an episode on that soon. Well, Bill, here's your surprise.
Dang, fast turnover.
Because I had a different episode in this slot.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this would be a little more fun leading into the season finale because we're about to just do work.
Yeah.
So this is the mysterious story of the lost alien grave of Aurora, Texas.
Lost alien grave?
We've tangentially touched this story before.
Okay.
We've never done a full dive into it. And this is one that kind of...
Alien as in like from...
Outer space.
Space, not just a different country.
Right.
Okay.
Like a gray.
Like Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, but just a foreign...
Yeah. Involves a judge, a flower bed, and a windmill.
Wow.
Mm.
Quite the combo.
In Aurora, Texas.
Is this like the start of a Clue game?
Yes. No, it's like a bad joke.
Oh, okay.
A UFO, a judge, and a flower bed walk into a bar.
And the judge says, ouch!
I don't get it.
Walked into a bar.
Oh, okay.
Hit his head.
So we're going to use some Mysterious Universe articles for this, plus some other stuff. So over the years, there have occasionally appeared remarkable and sensational stories of UFO crashes in which bodies of occupants have been captured or otherwise obtained by shady government forces.
Ooh.
Undoubtedly, The most well-known of these cases are Roswell, New Mexico. But there are still some ones that are more intriguing in popular culture than others. And there's some more obscure reports as well. One of these supposedly occurred in a small backwater town in Texas, where a strange visitor was reportedly come from some other realm and crashed, and his final resting place is a crude grave that has been lost and remains a mystery to this day.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to talk about something very Texan.
This sounds like a side mission on Red Dead Redemption.
It could have been.
It might have been.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right. Yeah.
Which is actually one.
Well, it's a prequel.
Right.
Yes. But it just very much has that, like, if it's not in the game, I'd be shocked to, like, stumble across, like, a...
There's a UFO. No, you can do... It's a witch's house that a UFO buzzes on top.
Yes, there's that one. But, I mean, to actually find, like, the crude grave, you could probably just stumble across it. It's probably not even a side mission, just one of those fine details.
No, there's a lot of weirdness. So, is this ringing a bell yet?
The first thing I thought of was that little alien-like body that they put on display, like...
Oh, this is a long time ago. This is 1896.
This one? No, I have no idea. I've never heard this.
This is actually during Red Dead Redemption.
See what I mean?
Because I think that ended in like eight. I think the Red Dead Redemption 1 was like 1897, 1898.
I can't remember. Where's the turn of the century? It's just great storytelling. Great storytelling.
So the setting of a bizarre story came amid the UFO flap that was sweeping the nation at this time.
Okay.
From between the years of 1896 and 1897, some outlandish stories were starting to make their headlines. Beginning in California and working its way east, began to report numerous accounts of what was described as a mysterious, metallic, cigar-shaped airship. So keep in mind, this is well before the word UFO or flying saucer appeared.
Or UAP.
Well before UAP.
Yeah.
But they were called airships a lot, because the best thing people could describe is like balloons and like a ship in the sky.
Well, isn't that what they also referred to as like like Hindenburg, the old Zeppelins?
They were airships.
They were called airships? Okay.
Yeah, so they would, yeah. Similar.
Cigar-shaped. Yeah.
Appearing in the skies, said to be slowly moving with powerful spotlights that could pierce the night sky with great precision. So these people all across the country are seeing a very similar UFO.
Mm-hmm.
Big cigar, metallic-y kind of thing with giant spotlights on it that could pierce through the night. But it's like not, it's like a, almost like a laser pointer.
Yeah.
Very direct.
Like a spotlight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very direct. The reports were remarkable because in this era, before airplanes, and when even balloons and blimps were not impractically common sights in the sky in these regions yet. So there were balloons and blimps in this time. They're very, very rare. Like they're highly, you know, high dollar, they're around big cities, you know, they're around that kind of stuff.
Okay.
We're in Aurora, Texas.
Yeah.
Nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Aurora is a beautiful town.
Yeah.
Now, this is 130 years ago.
Is it close to Arlen, Texas?
Yeah, yeah. Peggy Hill is actually one of the eyewitnesses.
Got it. Good job. Got that quick.
Yeah. Now, so before even balloons and blimps were not practical sights in the skies in these regions. So for many people, they suddenly start reporting giant mysterious airships of unknown design were causing great concern, making the news on regular basis.
Okay.
So imagine that, yeah. This is like before blimps were really a thing.
Right, yeah.
Like, they're there. Don't get me wrong. Blimps exist at this time. Very, very few people using them.
It was a very high-class thing, wasn't
yes.
it? Yeah.
And this is being seen all over the United States.
Not just in Texas.
It's in Texas is where it got interesting.
It just got bigger there.
Yeah. Closer.
Well.
Got closer.
Oh, okay.
Like dinosaurs watching the meteor come. That star in the night sky gets bigger every night.
Right, yeah. It's getting bigger.
Yeah. No, so what do you think so far about this mysterious UFO flap in, you know, between the years of 1896 and 1897?
I mean, interesting that there's multiple accounts across the... It's not just one area that's seeing it. Like, that's pretty interesting. So whatever this thing, either there's multiple of them or it's moving around at quite some speed and getting
now,
in places.
UFO flaps. We'll do a... Maybe a season... 6 or 7 finale would be a nice UFO flaps the world, because there has been several like this to where it's not just like a couple states and seeing like this, like the continent is having a year or a couple months of super high or hardcore UFO activity. It seemed to have stopped in modern times. My big thing for that is I think it's lights. I think the modernization of the lighting system of the world.
Stop the...
You don't see them
as much. Absolutely.
So you see them in rural areas where there's not a billion lights blotting out the sky,
mm-hmm.
where they could still fly over towns. Mm-hmm. You know, they could be... I don't know. I think there's something to that because it's weird. Like every... I'm going to say like every decade probably in the U.S., there's one like 3-month period where there's 10,000 UFOs seen.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But this is one of the big ones that nobody talks about.
I might jump ahead, but
go ahead.
I have an idea what this could be like right now. Not this one in particular.
Oh, I was like, you know what this
not
is?
Not this one in particular, but
we haven't
for flaps,
got to Ned
for UFO flaps.
Okay.
What if it is our friends, our upper atmosphere creatures that are on cyclical reproductive patterns, and that's why you only see them at certain times.
Last week should have been the ovipositor episode.
Ah, see, but I mean cyclical as in being.
No,
not this year.
Breeding events.
Not this year. Yeah. Maybe in like 5-year
so
patterns.
Salmon are like, some species of salmon are 5, some are 7.
Oh, okay.
Even though they do, salmon as a species reproduce every year.
Right.
This brood reproduces in 7 years.
Gotcha, yeah.
It could be something very similar. I like it, you know.
Especially around the whole country.
Yeah. I think it, personally, I think it'd be more like locational, but let's get back to
that. Right.
So one of these towns would be visited by one of these ships was a small rural farming town of Aurora, Texas. This was an unassuming place that would normally just be another dusty town in the Badlands. Nothing remarkable about this particular special place, or about this particularly special, a place that one could pass through right through without really noticing it. Yet, according to the Dallas Morning News, on April 15th of 1897, one of these mysterious ships allegedly appeared to come sailing down out of the sky and float over the town for a period of time.
Mm.
So they were seeing these ships way up.
Yep.
One of them comes kind of scooting down over the town and was hanging out over the town for just a minute. There, this would have been an otherworldly, awe-inspiring sight if it just stopped there. But then things, apparently, got much more spectacular. As the ship started to maneuver off and seemed to experience some sort of mechanical difficulties, it was making all kinds of noises and kind of zigzagging through the sky.
Ooh.
It reportedly collided with a windmill on the rural property of Judge J.S. Proctor, causing a terrific explosion, destroying the windmill, the water tank, and the airship, sending debris raining all over.
I knew it. It's the windmills. They're killing the birds.
They're killing the UFOs.
UFOs.
So this is more like, this is a water pump windmill.
I know. It's 1800s.
So, yeah, 1800s. It's a water pump windmill.
A little different than what I'm talking about.
It's like 30 feet from this guy's house.
Yeah. And it nails it, huh?
It nails it. It explodes everything.
So,
and they had a big water tank underneath it because it was pumping water out of the ground, the windmill was.
Okay.
So it blew that up, too.
So this thing's either flying under distress or something malfunctioned?
It very much seems like a crash.
Yeah.
Like, whether, because it seemed like it broke pattern, if you want to go this far. I've seen it said both ways. There may have been other UFOs in the sky at the time.
Okay.
Seemed like it broke pattern off from those guys and was resting above the town and then started zigzagging until it crashed. Some people said it was making horrific noises. Some people said it was leaving a smoke trail.
Mm.
Like, it started, like, when it broke away. I don't know. Once again, this is 1800s.
Right, yeah.
The story has been told tons of times.
Mm-hmm.
The game of telephone is rough.
That's true.
So, yes. When the wreckage was investigated by the stunned locals, they apparently found much debris was very strange. A light metal that none of them had ever seen before. It seemed to be a mixture of aluminum and silver. According to the reports, they found the pilot of the craft sprawled out on the ground, dead among the wreckage.
Mm.
Although there was no really detailed descriptions of this creature, it was described as a petite humanoid-esque figure that they called a Martian, with a report saying of this of his appearance. While his remains were badly disfigured enough from the original, he has been picked up to show that he was not an inhabitant of our world.
Okay.
So the locals, they're reacting a lot better than people today would.
Like,
there's a crash, the judge's house explodes. Not his house, the windmill, like 20 feet, 30 feet from his front door.
And they're, like, concerned for this.
They're like, they feel bad.
Yeah.
I'm not joking, they feel bad.
Yeah.
Because they are very much, this is a different time where there was a lot of books going around this day talking about Martians and talking about people living on Mars and stuff like that. And this is also the water trails on Mars when they said they were still being used. Is the end of the 1800s when people with telescopes said that they could see the canals still
having water on Mars. Yeah.
And now they don't have water, if you want to believe in these things.
Right.
So they get out there, they investigate. There's all this debris. So it's the same similar memory metal from Roswell.
Oh, okay.
Where it was very, very thin.
Yeah.
It was aluminum, like a silver mix. Some people said they could crumple it and go back to its shape. It was very, very light.
Hmm.
It was almost like they believed it was some kind of balloon for a bit.
Oh, okay. So
because of how light it was.
Right, like that thin.
But it blew up a windmill and a giant metal water tank.
So it's...
It had some force behind it.
Right.
And it had some speed. That's one of the disadvantages of balloons, is they can move. They can't, like, move. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they top out at a certain speed.
Yes, they're very hard to get booking.
Basically, as fast as the wind can blow it is about as fast.
Well, no.
And that's uncontrollable.
Well, like, blimps are powered.
Yeah, okay.
They have fans on their fans. They have propellers on them.
Guess I didn't think about blimps or zeppelins or
how it's more thinking. This wouldn't be a hot air balloon. This would be a zeppelin.
Right, absolutely, yeah, in this case.
So, yes. So they see the Martian. They describe him. The town pastor even came in. It was like, it's a guy from Mars. Everybody's fine with it. It was some poor soul from Mars.
Right, yeah.
So they find out of his wreckage. They find the guy from Mars. One, on the creature's person was supposedly a sheet of paper-like material upon which was scrawled some sort of strange symbols in, like, hieroglyphs is the best way they could describe it, the meaning of which are still an enigmatic to the pilot and his weird ship. So now this seemed to be an actual crash of a mysterious ship in an alien body. So what did the locals do?
Well, so the body was deceased?
Yeah, he was definitely dead.
Okay.
Like, well, there's not a lot of good descriptions of what he looked like.
Yeah.
Like I said, the best kind of thing is petite humanoid-esque.
Yeah.
Badly damaged. They knew he didn't look like when they found him. They're like, that's not what he looked like
before
the wreck.
He's probably all burnt up and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but they, yeah.
Wait.
So they find this blown up ship and this guy.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do?
Well, it sounds like they may have had a funeral for him.
I hate you so much.
Am I right? I mean, that just seemed like...
According to the tale,
yeah,
they tossed the wreckage into an old well and they sealed it off, very fearful of any diseases it could have brought. As for the tiny alien, they gave him an official Christian burial in the nearby Aurora Cemetery and gave him a small, unassuming headstone with a crude etch of the alien ship on it.
Nice.
So, yes, they felt really bad. Like, the town really felt bad for this guy.
Right.
I'm saying guy. They don't, you know, they called him a guy because they named him Ned.
Well, he's humanoid, so, yes. You know, personification.
They felt bad enough. They're like, let's give him a Christian burial. They buried him in the cemetery with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, their headstones, they were all crude. I don't know why everybody makes a point that this was a crude headstone.
Right.
They were all crude. This is Aurora, Texas. There's 400 people here.
Yeah.
So there's not a mason. You know, there's not a carver.
It might just be where you're from, whether at the time period, if your headstone's...
You could afford a nice one.
Right, if it's true or not. Yeah.
There were nice headstones
absolutely,
in the 1800s.
Absolutely.
I'm saying this town probably did not have any nice headstones, besides probably the mayor.
Maybe. Depends how good a mayor or judge they were.
So they drew his ship. Very classical, like halfway between cigar and saucer UFO.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
1897.
Yeah, it's... Mm-hmm.
So very unique. They put this big rock, buried his body. So then...
Where's that well, though?
Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay.
There's a lot of weirdness later on that comes about this. This town gets turned upside down about 50 years later. So let me get to where I was. So they gave him a Christian burial in the nearby Aurora Cemetery. Gave him a small and assuming headstone, the crude etch of it. Newspapers at the time ran the story... Before long, it was talked about all over the place, with curiosity seekers coming to town in the area to see this cemetery for itself. I have another little article I pieced in here with some of the newspaper clippings.
Uh-huh.
Because this was a newspaper story of the time. There are several sightings of great ships in Texas in the spring of 1897. At least one of these flying crafts was reported to crash in Aurora, Texas on April 17th, 1897. The Tall Tale reports an airship crashing to Judge Proctor's windmill and bursting into great flames. Along the wreckage, Aurora residents find a disfigured remains of an alien creature. The alien, we now call Ned, was given a proper Christian burial in a local Aurora cemetery. And newspaper articles like this still exist this day. You can go find them. You can look it up. They're there.
It's
like,
still on the rotoscope?
Yeah.
Is that what they call that?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Microfiche?
Yeah, that's it.
Please refer to... you can look at the front page of the Dallas Morning News. There's an article written by S.C. Hayden... Reports in the newspaper, Dallas Morning News. So here's, like, I have a little transcript of it.
Okay.
Around 6 o'clock this morning, and the early risers of Arroyo were astonished by the sudden appearance of an airship, which had been sailing around the country. It was traveling due north and was much nearer to the earth than before. Eventually, some of the machinery went out of order, but making a speedy of only 10 or 12 miles per hour, and gradually settled towards the earth. It sailed over the public square, and where it reached the north part of the town, it collided with the tower of Judge Proctor's windmill, and went into pieces with a terrific explosion. Scattering debris over several acres of ground, wreckage in the windmill and the water tank are all destroyed in the judge's flower garden as well. Now, there's a lot of jokes about the flower garden. I'll come back to
it. Okay.
The pilot of the airship has supposedly also been on board, and with his remains were badly disfigured. Enough of the originals were pieced together. He was not of this inhabitant of this world. Sorry, it's written weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. So there's other articles. One of them is called Alien Agenda by Jim Mars. Literally, his last name is Mars.
Right. What are the odds?
But there's tons and tons of articles. So the flower garden, the judge was actually known for having this big, prestigious flower garden in Aurora, Texas.
Okay.
He was a big gardener.
That's my kind of guy.
And his garden blew up by a UFO. He didn't care for Ned. Because it's a little harder to get flowers in 1897. There's not like a greenhouse you can go.
Right, in Texas. And now you have
nowhere, Texas.
And now you have a radioactive ship that lands on it. I'm sure everything will go great there. Yeah. It might grow better, actually.
So like I said, might say the Dallas Morning Report, which happened to have written in the Aurora Locals, must surely have been a made-up joke. There are soon numerous witnesses coming forward to collaborate the story, saying that they had seen the craft or even witnessed the crash itself and the alien body, giving weight to the strange account. So some of the reports or sent into the Dallas Morning were from locals that were just reporting as they seen it. And everybody's like, this is a big April Fool's joke or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And the locals are like, no, it happened.
Right.
Ned's buried right over there. There is also an odd claim that the new owner of Judge Proctor's property, a Mr. Barley Oates.
No. His name's Barley Oates?
Barley Oates.
What is he, related to General Mills?
Okay. I got a lot to read today.
Sorry.
Who claimed in 1945 that he had found pieces of the alien ship buried in his well, which had made him ill and forced him to cover the site up with concrete and seal it away.
Hmm.
So he owned it much later, 1945. So he said when he found pieces of the craft, it made him physically ill. We're going to talk about hearsay. I'm trying to get through what we know before we get into some hearsay about the ship.
Yeah,
because there's a kind of weird thing. Why they gathered this all up and threw it in the well?
Yeah.
There was reasons for that.
What, they were all getting sick? You said they were afraid of diseases.
That's what the main story is.
Right. Well,
some people said, let me get through this first.
Okay.
And amazing as all this is at the time, it's oddly that sort of faded away, became sort of an obscure historical oddity for decades. Location of the grave was forgotten. Accounts were picked up by UFO enthusiasts. The case quickly became popular in the UFO hunting crowds years later, with several investigators claiming launch over the years. One of the first was carried out by Bill Case, an aviation writer for the Dallas Times Herald and Texas State Directory of the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, who interviewed surviving eyewitnesses and checked out the cemetery. He claimed in 1973 he had found the gravestone of what he believed was the alien grave. Not much more than a rock, really, small in size, half broken, carrying what appeared to be part of an etch of a saucer-shaped structure. Using a metal detector, it was determined that it seemed to be a large metal piece buried down in the ground. An excavated investigation tried to get permission for the city to exhume the grave with no success. The city wanted to leave Ned alone.
Right.
The city firmly believes that Ned was given a Christian burial and Ned should stay there.
Do not disturb.
Yep. Making the story even more bizarre, would claim to upon his next visit, the metal piece had seemingly disappeared, possibly moved by someone.
Hmm.
So he came back later. It's not there anymore.
The part of the ship? It
was buried with Ned.
Right.
Whatever was buried with Ned is now gone.
Okay.
So whether the town moved it or somebody else came in and scooped it, you know, because they're following, he's the director of MUFON. He's the Texas director of MUFON.
Okay.
So he's not a non-known person. In 1970s, the UFO craze, that's when the ball really got rolling.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
So I'm just saying that I don't know if the town did it or if somebody else just came back with a shovel later.
Very well. I mean,
I don't know.
How do they know? They didn't have security cameras to watch the grave.
Making the story even more bizarre was that claimed upon his next visit, like I said, and it disappeared, possibly moved by someone. Not long after, the gravestone itself was stolen.
Wow.
So everything got taken.
Yeah. No
every
evidence.
Piece, no, evidence or memorabilia.
There you go, memorabilia.
It happens with UFO sites.
Mm-hmm.
Like now I think the Roswell, the route, whatever, the route that goes through town is literally like padlocked six times to the state sign.
What is it?
The alien highway sign.
Yeah.
For Roswell.
Uh-huh.
Is like padlocked six times.
Oh.
Because everybody
wants
steals
to
it.
Steal the sign. Gotcha.
Everybody steals it.
Yeah.
So not long after the gravestone was stolen, the location of the body itself was lost altogether.
Mm. So just completely, all the evidence and memorabilia is
And
gone.
A lot of the headstones, you can go to the cemetery still. A lot of the headstones are gone.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a couple of the really big ones still standing.
No, 120 years old, of probably not well-maintained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's, and cemeteries in general can go to crap.
Centuries.
They,
oh, you mean, yeah, they can go rough really fast.
Immediately.
Really fast.
Immediately, if you don't take care of them. Like that one out by, there's right outside of town by, we're around where we live. I mean.
Mom and Dad's?
Yeah. You've seen it. I'm sure I haven't seen it since they've been there, but I've seen it when it starts to get a little overgrown. You can't even see it. It's gone. It's immediately gone.
They have to bug people to come do it. It's supposed to be done twice a year.
Yeah.
Mowed once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I think they pretty much, they mow a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because.
I would, shoot.
Yeah.
I would do it. I'd come down.
The county's responsibility.
So, but, yeah, sorry. I digress.
Another notable investigation was carried out with a TV show, UFO Hunters, in 2008. The team approached the current owner of the judge's property, Tim Oates.
Tim Oates.
The nephew of Barley.
At least
I kid you not, that's his name.
I know. Just Barley Oates. Come on. But Tim, okay, that's better.
Tim Oates. I actually know a Tim Oates. Really? Not the same Tim.
How do you know?
Huh? Well, because he doesn't own a property in Texas, as far as I know. I guess you're right.
That's over 100 years old.
I feel like he would told me that. He's told me a lot of things over the years. I feel like he would have told me, you know, I own this property with a dead alien.
Yeah, and I'm 160 years old.
Well, no, he owns it right now.
Oh, okay.
Tim Oates.
Oh,
his uncle is the one, Barley's the one that bought it in the 40s. Oh,
okay.
Yes. Anyways, so Oates gave permission for the well to be unsealed. But no pieces of alien wreckage were found in the water, and the water was tested with fairly normal expectations, with heightened levels of aluminum present.
Okay.
And you can watch the documentary, the TV show. It was pretty substantial levels of aluminum.
Yeah.
It would not be safe. You could drink it. I wouldn't drink it.
No, I mean, aluminum's horrible for your body.
If there have ever been any pieces of the alien ship that had been seen, had been removed or lost. The UFO Hunters investigation, Aurora Cemetery, looking for the lost unmarked grave with ground-penetrating radar. It seems they found a promising spot and tried to get permission to dig it up, but were very vehemently denied. Without being able to exhume the remains, it was impossible to determine if they were human or not. So in the ground-penetrating radar, they looked funky. But okay. Who knows?
Right, right. Anything could be possible.
Who knows?
You're quick on that one.
To this day, the location of the grave, or indeed if it exists at all, are still unknown. Although the cemetery itself still bears the plaque listing the alien as one of the inhabitants there. So there's a little plaque at the front of it because most of the headstones are gone.
Yeah.
So Ned is just listed as Ned.
That's pretty awesome.
The town, you can say whatever you want, if it's real or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But they embrace it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think in the original time, so I have a lot more. We're only halfway through this episode. I really think this happened, whether you want to say whatever Ned was. It's just interesting to me that how much the town was like, oh, that's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's give him a proper burial. He's just this guy from Mars. He crashed. Like, it was a sailor at sea kind of deal.
Right.
And they don't know him. And they're like, oh, give him a name. Give him a headstone, you know. Give him a proper burial. The thing with the headstone is I don't even know if by the time they got to it in the 70s, if that was the original.
Probably not.
I think it was stolen in the 30s.
I mean, very easily, well, could have been.
Or, yeah. Because the one from the 70s had a really, like, modern-day UFO etched on it.
Didn't have the cigar shape.
There's one there now that they recreated from the 70s.
Yeah.
And let me see. I got a picture of it somewhere for you.
But there's no way anyone has a picture of that original one.
Well, maybe I don't have a picture. I thought I had a picture.
Highly doubt that if they had the original.
Not the original. Not the original.
Right.
But it's the replica they have there now.
Right, right.
But it is a sandstone that they pulled out of the local river and carved and put up there. So it is, you know, as authentic as it's going to get.
Right.
But, yeah, what do you think so far before I get into some possibilities and some extra stuff?
I got a couple things.
Go ahead.
One, the material, the UFO.
Oh, I did forget some stuff. Thank you.
On that one, let me ask you a question, which I already know the answer to, but I want you to reveal it to our audience. Have you ever felt a piece of an alleged UFO? Have you ever handled one?
I did. I tried to eat one.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Daryl Sims. Hey, Daryl.
Yes, and Daryl's been, we was season two or three, somewhere in there.
No, it was four.
Was it that late?
Yeah. We take two seasons a year.
No. This was, well, I don't know. Either way. Yeah, Reese, look, please. No way it was season four. No way. But either way. Daryl, we met him in Encounter Quest last year. Known as the Alien Hunter. But he brought us, and not us specifically, but he brought in a piece of what is allegedly a part of a UFO.
Oh, he's been on a lot.
And Daryl, there's part of me that believes a lot of the things he says. And maybe that's the snake oil salesman he is, but I'm just kidding with it. And I'm just kidding. No, I like Daryl a lot. But he brought in a piece of UFO, and it was, well, alleged UFO. You know, it's strange. It is.
It was weird.
Very illuminating.
So before he told us the thing,
yeah.
Remember, I was sitting there trying to warm it up in my hand, and I couldn't.
Right, yeah.
So I forget the name of that word. Heat dispersal?
It
transfers heat extremely fast. It doesn't get hot very easily.
Right.
It takes a lot for it to get hot.
And aluminum has that quality where it can, it loses its heat like extremely fast. I mean, it just depends on the block, but aluminum,
I'm
blanking on the word too. I don't know.
Thermodynamics, I'm forgetting.
Right, yeah, class. Or terms, yeah. But basically, why can't I think of the words? Not conductor, that's electricity, but yeah. It absorbs heat very slowly and disperses it very quickly. So like my friend that's a welder, he was telling me, because he's really good at...
Oh, you're right.
What?
He was season 3, episode 30, and season 3, episode 40.
Phew. Just by a season. Well, I wasn't right. I said 2, I think, and you said 4, so we're both kind of right. But check those episodes out. Does a very...
We got to have him back on.
Oh, absolutely. Again. He does more UFO... just talking nonstop, that stuff that I've never even heard. You won't hear from anyone else. You will not.
He's been
doing
this forever.
Longer than anyone. But that material, though, that's the important part. Matches a lot of the descriptions they're talking about from the 1890s.
The 1897 here in Aurora, it sounds just like Roswell. You can say whatever you want about Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same. Sounds like the same stuff,
mm-hmm.
which would have been 40 years, almost 50 years later. 47 is when Roswell would have been.
Yeah.
So actually, it was exactly, what, 40 years?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was 40 years.
47 was the...
Yeah, because 97 is when this happened.
Yeah.
So 47 is when Roswell, so it was exactly 40 years later.
Yeah.
Which is weird, I guess, in itself. No, so the material, some people, there's a lot of hearsay with this story. You can watch several different documentaries on this, and you're going to get different things, both sides of it. Some people said the metal immediately gave people a sickness.
Right.
Where there was big blotches or big boils, and the town got in a panic, and they didn't bury Ned for safety. They threw all the metal into the well and buried Ned. They buried Ned for safety. They didn't bury him for courtesy.
Oh, okay.
That they just, and they put the body in there because they wanted to know where all the bodies were in the town.
Yeah.
So they were worried that he was going to make everybody really, really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, like I said, this is hearsay. Like, it's hard when we're talking about these ones that are 100 plus years.
Yeah.
But apparently there's stories that immediately people touching the metal got purple blisters kind of deal,
mm-hmm.
all up and down them. And they're like some kind of strange disease from Mars or whatever. There's also accounts, I believe it was the 30s, where somebody cleaned out the well. Said that it was making his livestock sick, and he'd heard the stories, and they had started scooping it out and pulled all the metal out and got rid of it.
Yeah.
That we couldn't pull water, like, because they concreted over. Then the other guy that owned it, you know, also concreted it because he was worried about radiation. I don't know. There's a lot of weirdness when we start getting into stories. This property's been owned by several different people. Several of them have been really UFO oriented. Several of them haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying anybody's making any money off this thing or not, but it just is odd. You know, it's hard when you look at it and everything's been moved. I don't even know if these are the same wells. You know, this well that's still standing on the property doesn't mean it's the well that was there in 1897.
Right.
That they threw all of Ned's craft down. And apparently, it was not very big, the craft. I have a lot of trouble finding
size,
dimensions.
Size comparisons or size.
But enough that you could shove it all into a well.
Right. It's not been that big.
Well, because keep when Roswell wrecked, it was like acres of debris. Tens of thousands of giant hunks of stuff. And so it's really hard to tell.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into some possibilities, and don't worry, some people may think this episode is going to be short. It's not. I have a surprise at the end. Let's play a little ad. I got to find one. All right, you ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Hey, we're down here at Mel's Hole, and Justin? Justin? Where'd you go?
Help! I'm falling down the hole!
You fell down Mel's Hole?
Yes, I keep falling, and I think I'm going to be falling for a really, really long time.
Oh, no. How long till I... Do you have enough time for me to get a rescue crew?
I think I do, but I'm really hungry, and I found a dead tumor seal as I was falling. But it looks absolutely disgusting. Do you have anything to help?
I think I have just the thing. Here, let me toss down a couple of bottles of Flavors of the Forest Bigfoot Breath.
Really, really chuck them so they catch up.
Here comes one. And two.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to eat this tumor seal now with Flavors of the Forest. Where could the other people get this amazing product to cook their own tumor seal?
You can get this wonderful, amazing, tasty product at flavorsforest.com/corn. Add it to anything, and it will make your food taste delicious.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
How was that tumor seal?
It was good. It was good. We need, you know what we really need?
Oh, no.
A tumor seal shirt.
Oh, no. Doing a wink?
The wink.
If we could put it on a card where they, you know, move them back
and forth. That's the problem with podcasting is a lot of times is podcasts add to the story. I tried to do it as little as possible.
But that one.
That's one that has to go down. In 100 years, I hope that's the part of the, like, physically the written that, the story.
Yeah. And it winked at him.
And it, before it did its back flip in.
Yeah.
Wink. So what happened here? I got all kinds of things. So the first one is literally just a UFO crash.
Okay.
Like there was a part of whatever battalion of UFOs were flying over North America at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an interesting idea I've seen put up a lot recently, is that there may be like scouting trips that are either mapping the cosmos or whatever. So this battalion that was seen of UFOs all over the country and probably all over the world at the time. Just hard to get these kind of from Brazil in 1897, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What if it was just like an interstellar group that just maps planets and then they were going to move on? And it's just one that wrecked. They know they can't go down there because they don't want to mess with the monkeys living on the planet.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think about an actual alien, actual UFO craft?
I mean, it kind of sounds like it just from all the... the evidence and the stories they told, but they were just up there, one swoop too low, or lost control, lost power, and came down.
Student driver.
There we go, Ned.
It was Ned's first day on the job. Wrecked into
first day
died.
By himself. They're like, all right, co-pilot's going to watch you today. All right.
I think that's a Pixar short.
He's like, woo!
You ever seen that?
Which what?
It's a Pixar short where they're a UFO's learning how to abduct. Like, it's passing his driver's test to abduct people.
Oh, really? This really is a thing?
Yeah, it's a Pixar short from, like, 2009.
Huh.
And he, like, he has a tractor beam lever, and he just starts banging the guy into the wall and, like, stuff like that.
And ain't doing it right.
The driver's just sitting there. He's like a big slug, and he just
clicking
his pen and marking down.
Yep. That sounds fitting.
It's just really funny. It reminded me. I don't know. It could be Ned's first day. I don't know. You actual UFO crash? I think we feel pretty similar about actual UFOs.
Yeah.
Like, as far as species from another planet.
Oh, gotcha. That's what you're saying here. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. Could be, but no, probably not. Probably not.
Okay. All right. I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't know, though. It's really hard with the downtown. Here's one that was proposed with Roswell, proposed with this, and several of these other crashes with corpses. This could be a gifting event.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever, we've rather never really dived into this phenomena or this proposed phenomena where they give you corpses or bodies plus broken technology.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the theories leading into this is that it's to not shock you whenever they show up or to kind of help you catch up to them so it's not a huge tech shock.
Jump, yeah.
So from like the 40s, a lot of people say from the Roswell crash is where we got like all this like fiber optic cables.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a weird piece of technology that's not really a technological route to. Where did that come from? There's all, you know, and you could say there is or isn't. I don't care. I don't know. But that's one of the theories is that these could be tech and biology gifts to make them more familiar or to help us become more familiar with them and more familiar with their technology. So when they do reveal themselves or they maybe accidentally do, that we're more prepared for it. We kind of know what they look like. You know, we're not shocked to see how foreign they actually look, and then we're not shocked by their technologies. We talk about it a lot with, like, a nuclear reactor into the Stone Age. It's something that we understand right now. It's, you know, 400 years ago, you take it back there, it's magic.
Right, pretty much.
People don't understand if you crack open one of those covers, you're going to kill everybody in the room.
Right, yeah.
You know?
The magic. Something
you can't see.
Yeah.
I don't know. The gifting thing, I really don't know. What do you think?
About the gifting?
Yeah.
It just if they do it, I don't think it's for good intentions. If it is a true phenomena, because whatever these things are, if they're giving you something, it's probably not a good thing.
And then people ask like for the negative, why would they gift you a corpse?
Right.
You know, and to that, let's say for the positive, they could be very different than us as when we start talking about this. Mm-hmm. Like we talk about with fungus, for example, having. They're not scared to cut off what's essentially their arm. You know,
right.
They do it.
Right.
So if they're more hive-mindal, where they're more geared towards that, like a collective consciousness, that cutting off a body or a group of bodies isn't a big deal to them. Because they're not losing a sense of consciousness.
Right. They're just
donating some biology mass.
Right. There you go.
So that could be where that more steps in, you know, because how many times have we heard the grays? Because this seems, I don't have proof he's a gray, like a gray type entity. It's what it kind of seems like to me, though.
Kind of,
this
yeah.
is a gray-esque thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The gifting phenomenon, I don't trust it. I think we're pretty similar in that vein.
Right. I do not trust it at all.
So, I don't know. Was Roswell a gift? Some people said that. Some of the Russian ones they said were gifting events.
Mm-hmm.
The technology dumping. What's the guy that just did the UFO stuff for Congress?
Oh, Grush?
Grush. Didn't he say that, one of his things, that these were gifts?
Like the ones that they saw, or just in general, when they recover things?
I think it was one of the cover things that he said that these, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, I know, I'm trying to remember myself.
But he said something about that these were left here on purpose.
Yeah, he did say that some of the material that they had was discovered, they dug up,
yes.
Like already here, yeah.
But they were buried on purpose.
Okay.
Like they were left there. For to be found later.
Okay.
When like a ship crashed out in Aurora, Texas.
Right,
and
right.
Archaeologists discovered it.
Yeah.
It was like in a temple, buried, would be preserved.
And we still, there's stories of that before Grush came out.
Oh, I mean, sure.
In India, there's.
We have big, you know, we have a lot of feelings about Grush. Personally, I don't think he said anything that the UFO community hasn't been talking about
for correct.
Several decades, if not a century.
Correct.
I mean, I think we have this misnomer. I said it earlier in the episode, you know, the 70s are really when the UFO ball got rolling. I guess I mean the modern UFO ball. Because there's been people fascinated by UFOs for centuries.
The public mass media version.
The new mass media.
Yeah.
Yeah, the electrical era.
There we go.
Everybody can talk about everything right now.
Yeah, which is a good thing and a bad thing. Double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah.
So, okay, gifting. Interdimensional wreck. So I've seen a lot of this talked about, specifically with Roswell, is that why are aliens wrecking? Why are creatures wrecking on Earth? You know, if they have all this technology to transverse dimensions or space, why are they wrecking? One thing I've seen is, and I kind of could buy this. I don't know how much I buy it, but I could see the validity for this subject, is that we did something to our planet or our plane that most species out there, whether they're interdimensional or extraterrestrial, may not expect.
Okay.
You can't plan for everything in the cosmos.
Right.
So this is goes against the Ned crash, the Aurora Texas crash. But for Roswell, a lot of people believe that the Trinity test, you know, the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah.
Got us off sync somewhere, whether it's interdimensional, it's set up like roadblocks. Listen to our Demon Core episode. That's one of my more favorite ones because it's crazy what happened and that we don't really, like, the nukes are bad.
Right.
So what if that is, like, no species? They made a joke in Star Trek. The Ferengis, the big ear guys.
Okay.
Were like, humans detonated nuclear explosions in their own atmosphere? How are they still here?
Yeah.
So what if that's a complete foreign anomaly? Yeah, sure, maybe all these other species define nukes, and they're all like, no, this is, you can't do this here.
Right, yeah.
This is bad. So it's just expected that nobody else did it. And we're the crazy species that did it.
Yeah.
I don't know, and that could be where it's happening. So this is causing, basically in these planes, and we've talked about this a lot recently, where I think there's more to reality than we're witnessing or we can test.
For sure.
So what if this has caused ripples or walls, essentially, to form in those things that these things are traveling through? And they hit them and they crash.
Right, yeah. I can't just or rule it out, especially when it comes to nuclear explosions.
Yeah, see,
and then all the stuff that was associated with all those interdimensional stuff. That's
and
weird.
Then the hydrogen bomb that came on right after.
After it, and the Bikini Atoll Islands.
Like, I just don't think people realize. I think our listeners do. I think, you know.
Yeah.
But I think average people don't realize how detrimental those were to us as a species.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say the average person, because before, I mean.
It's just a big bomb.
Growing up.
Well, it's just, what's wrong with it? Just a big. It shook the fabric of reality.
Right, exactly.
Oppenheimer's kind of a long, goofy movie. I liked it, because I think it showed a lot of, like, how they felt about it. Like, telling Einstein, like. Einstein and Oppenheimer talking about, like, oh, there's a chance this could destroy the world. And Oppenheimer going, I think we did.
Yeah, I think we already did.
Like, he's talking more politically because it ruined everything because they were doing it. That's why he left. You know, Einstein left the project.
Yeah.
It was because that originally was designed to stop all war. Because if everybody has a world-ending button, nobody's going to push it because it doesn't matter. Right? Because if you're ending yourself just as much as you're ending somebody else.
Exactly, yeah.
And then humans still push the button.
Yeah, because the people in control of the button are typically evil.
They're demons.
Yeah.
Listen to the devil from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of references today. All right, so interdimensional wreck, what are we going with?
So, I mean, again, this one could be a possibility for me. But I'm with the people that say, you know, if you have the ability to transverse dimensions, you know, the technology, you shouldn't. Wreck, but like you said, for unforeseen forces that you may not account
universe,
for.
Especially if we're talking about interdimensional.
Yeah.
Is immense.
Right.
So there's stuff like you're not going to, it's not like radio waves, right? Because stars are kicking off radio waves.
Right.
You know, everything's kicking off radio waves. So everybody's going to expect radio waves. But whatever the nukes did to the inside of the planet, the only other place you really find is inside stars.
Right. Yeah.
So most species, I'm going to assume, aren't flying through the middle of stars.
I'll say not dealing with that. Yeah.
So probably the ships aren't. I don't know. I don't know what it does. I don't think anybody knows what it does.
No, no. It's all speculative technology.
My big one against this one for this crash is because of the date.
Okay.
Because it's 1897.
Well, you're against the interdimensional thought?
The interdimensional wreck due to stuff like nukes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, though. It could be like Tesla coils. Tesla could have knocked this thing out of the sky.
Oh, yeah. You never know.
I don't mean Tesla himself.
No, but
I mean,
like his
some
technology.
Some kind of technology.
Right.
Could have done this that we were experimenting with. Like, this is the time.
Wardenclyffe Tower technology.
Yeah, this is the time, the end of the 1800s, early 1900s, is when all these scientists were doing all kinds of amazing things.
Great things.
That's good why and bad. I wouldn't say Great as in awe-inspiring.
Yes, great things in general. There were great things. Yes, there were also equally horrible things. But they were doing great things. And that's why in all the books and stuff, everyone growing up then, we're going to have flying cars by the year, you know, 1950-something. And that's why they thought that, because the jumps were so grand and immense and great.
Right.
And somehow something happened that stalled all that. I forget what it is, like a couple world wars or something. But
technically, the world wars powered us ahead in technological advancements.
Yeah, in certain areas.
I think it did in a lot of things.
Yeah, implements of war.
No, and in a lot of modern day stuff like microwaves and GPS, and they were used as weapons first.
That's
modern day technologies. Mm-hmm. Velcro.
Velcro is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. You ever seen the silent Velcro opening technique?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a Vietnam guy too. He makes me laugh every time. He's in a couple videos. He's funny.
That was a very funny video.
No, so I don't know about the interdimensional wreck. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to put your finger on this or say with any concrete definition that is what happened. But, you know, I do think that aliens, quote unquote, are not from outer space, but just from different dimensions. And typically, you know, I'm with Daryl Sims on it. I believe his thoughts of being, you know, them being from here and they're hatch grown, made, whatever, they're developed here, the Greys and things like that, aliens that mm-hmm. we think of as aliens.
And I don't want to lump Ned in with the Greys because I don't know.
Right. We don't know. But
they didn't really say he had a big head.
You know, they just said small humanoid.
Petite humanoid-esque.
Right, and we have...
They said ish. So to me, that even means he's a step...
Even in the 1800s, they had the ish?
Well, not the ish. You know what I mean, but...
Well, okay.
It was like, even a step away from humanoid.
Right.
You know, it wasn't quite non-humanoid, but he was closer enough, to humanoid than non-humanoid.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, like the Hobbit people that
that's what the problem is. We're using our imagination.
Right, yeah.
We don't know what Ned looked like.
No,
I
not
really
at all.
Feel like if it was the Gray, they would have said huge head.
Right, yeah, or big something. Black eyes, but or mention the gray skin,
or you know, whatever. Who's to say he was actually disfigured from the wreck? They said he was disfigured. That may have just been what it looked like.
Well, you know what I think it could have been too is this is a callback to season one. It might have been a crashed one of our penguins that escaped from the Antarctic.
Tunguska penguin, not Tunguska. What is it? The space penguins? Oh, you know, you're talking about from season one. Yeah. Our penguins?
Yeah, the penguins, the flying penguins.
Still need a shirt for that. Somebody.
Penguins developed flight travel. I'm telling you,
angry penguins.
Out of spite, and this one crashed and got all burnt up, and they're like, "Well, it's a disfigured." Man,
we're making some long episodes.
Have you ever seen a penguin that's after it's been charred to death from a crash?
You know what? I haven't. I've seen a penguin in the wild.
Looks kind of like a small
in Tennessee.
Like a little human.
Like a little charred body. Yes, it does. It looks like a little charred corpse.
It's awful.
Vaguely humanoid.
They got knees.
Okay, next one. A hoax.
Ooh, an 1800s hoax.
Flat out, a newspaper hoax. Maybe the judge did it. You know, it was around April Fool's, right? I don't know. What do you...
Well, I don't think the judge would sabotage his own flower bed.
Well, what if it was already destroyed by a local armadillo? And he's like, well, you know what? Let's make some eggs with this basket.
Or make some lemonade.
Yeah, make some lemonade with these eggs. no, so I don't know. A lot of people say it was a hoax because there's a lot of mystery. Like the well was never found. The body was never found. The headstone went missing. It depends on whose story you want to believe, several times.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, it went missing several times mm-hmm. and was replaced. Did the town ever make any money off this? Not really. It was not ever a super popular UFO
tour
story.
Site. Yeah.
It wasn't Roswell.
Right.
It wasn't some of these others, Hudson Valley.
It's before it was a nationwide phenomena. You know, like as far as everyone being hyper aware.
Everybody see the UFO stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So why was it a joke? Was it the newspaper made it up and the town reciprocated? Like did the town issue it? Was it a couple guys in the town was having fun with the newspaper?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody started coming to town because it did. People flocked to the town for just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people came to town. So did they have to like... produce some stuff so they didn't all look like idiots? I don't know. Personally, I don't believe so.
Right.
It could very easily be, though.
The only way I think you could confirm is seeing those tests of those, like, those water results.
But there
with
could
the
be
high
all,
aluminum.
There could be reasons for aluminum.
Sure.
Like,
but that's the only tangible thing.
Somebody dumped a whole bunch of tin cans down there in the, you know, in the 70s.
I suppose.
No, it would. It would do it. It would be, you know, if they threw all their pop cans, all their soup cans down there, it would cause spikes in aluminum.
Mm-hmm. But that's about the only thing you can physically, like, tangible evidence, well, that results.
Yeah, yeah, there's not, the body has never been found. The headstone, right. The original headstone's gone.
No, yeah. Parts of the ship.
No parts of the ship.
Recovered.
Have ever been truly recovered as far.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It could easily be a hoax. This is one of those that it's so old and there's so much hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can watch two different documentaries about this thing,
mm-hmm,
and get two different stories.
Okay.
Like, there's a couple really popular ones. This is a fun one. It could easily be a hoax. Personally, I don't believe so. But if somebody believes it's a hoax, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that.
Did this come out in the newspaper in the 1890s, or was it?
Yes, like, okay, the weeks later.
So I would, if it were a hoax, I mean, they're very educated on what this, like, UFOs, you know, like that phenomena, what they're shaped like, what the materials like, just like even the modern day, you know, we're still getting those same result, like, yeah, same, sure, sure, sightings, yeah, you know, cigar shaped, silver.
Keep in mind, they had already been having these UFO sightings,
right,
in the U.S. for a year,
mm-hmm,
before this story happened.
Mm-hmm.
So was it them cashing in on just a small town boom? Was it them having some fun?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I guess that's the biggest story besides in that. What were the sightings that people were seeing across the country that year?
Yeah.
What was it?
A blimp army of flying monkeys. Ned was a flying monkey.
You heard it here. Well, monkey or penguin?
Flying monkey.
Penguin in a monkey
suit. They were at war with the penguins. So they were blitzkrieging in the U.S.
See, in the Battle of L.A. was the very end.
The very end of the monkey-penguin war.
Yeah.
In the skies.
And that's when Lemuria sank.
Yes, you heard it here first. You definitely heard that here first.
Probably.
If somebody else has uttered that sentence on this planet,
it would be
it's a glitch in the Matrix.
Or another clone of mine.
So up next, my last one, and actually, I still have more, and this is going to be a long episode, sorry. Everybody at home likes it. This is for us. It's a window area. So Micah Hanks, Small Town Monsters crew.
Mm-hmm.
We've met Micah several times.
Heard him talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At a Crypticon last year.
Yes. So he went back to Aurora and said that this is he believes a window area, a paranormal hotspot.
Okay.
Because there's not just Ned and his crash here. So keep in mind, Aurora's not a big town. And this was written, it's a Mysterious Universe article several years ago. So Micah Hanks' new article, his recent visit to Aurora, Texas, and his quest for the truth of the alleged 1897 UFO crash in Sierra has prompted, so this is Nick Redfern talking, me to take observation of this affair. An observation that doesn't exactly place in the conventional 19th century events in new light. It does, however, demonstrate something important. There's one strange, unearthly mystery. There's often many more.
Mm.
As some of you may know, one of the biggest influences of the world of the paranormal researcher is John Keel himself.
That's true.
The author of such acclaimed titles as Our Haunted Planet and Mothman Prophecies, Mr. Keel, noted that certain areas of the town seem to attract a fair more amount of paranormal activity than other places. So this Aurora is tiny. And even inside of Aurora, there's hot spots of UFO and paranormal activity.
Okay.
Perhaps one of the most famous examples is the Keel's termed window areas. So Keel's the one that put that name out there. I think people argue about that, but we're going with Keel.
Okay.
In Point Pleasant, West Virginia, forcing a range of strange ongoings in a small area. All this bringing together in the town Micah paid visit. So Micah did this. I'm going to summarize it. This has, since the same time of Ned's crash, the ABC phenomena, the alien black cats, which, mm-hmm, just means foreign, not from another planet. This is crazy. There's tons and tons and tons of giant black cat sightings in Aurora, Texas, including what seems to be some more werecats.
Werecats?
Yeah. We're not going to do an episode on it anytime soon because Kryptonauts, literally this week of recording, there's just an episode on werecats.
Really?
Yeah. But I think I heard them mention Aurora. Maybe not. I may be crossing my streams in my head.
I don't even know if I've heard of werecats.
There are a lot of them.
Okay.
It's like dogmen, like werewolves.
Okay.
But werecats. Some of the ABCs seen in Aurora have stood up.
Ooh.
Which is, when you're seeing a giant black cat that's not supposed to be there, and then it stands up.
It's either that,
like,
werecat, with skinwalker.
Skinwalkers, yes. I think there's a lot with that. So there's tons and tons and tons of ABC sightings here. Some of these displaying really high levels of supernatural overtones on them. But yeah, so even these are rogue reports inside of people that researched the ABC puzzle.
Okay.
So Aurora, Texas has a handful of these already. So what do you think about that so far?
I mean, if there's already a handful of them, I mean, this is just kind of fitting the mold, supposedly, you know?
So such occurrence of 1980 or 78 and 1989. In these both cases, a giant black cat was seen prowling against these gravestones in the cemetery, acting strange in strange fashions. In a very strange fashion, it terrified witnesses. Then the cat vanished before their eyes. Didn't run away into bushes. Dematerialized. One in 1978 and one in 1989.
78 and 89, okay.
Yeah. Big giant black cat scaring people in the cemetery where Ned's buried.
Right.
Would, like, dissimulate. Like, it would just vanish.
Like, phase out of reality? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that doesn't scream paranormal at all. You know, that no, just that's, seems normal that's, graveyard. That's
how black cats are.
Yeah.
Even more style, there's werewolves have sprung up. Investigating in late 2006 found that there were tons of stories of werewolves and animal mutilations in Aurora, Texas. This is a town of 1,500 people.
Okay.
So it's had Ned, giant black cats, werecats, ghost cats, werewolves, skinwalker-type entities, seen prowling around the story. There's 2006. They found more of the story. Animal mutilations were part of the puzzle. Richards found on his property somewhat menacing-looking carved stone heads, something which he believed had been fashioned by a cultist that made it conjure up a deadly beast.
Ooh, okay.
And a handful of miles from the paradise is Decatur, the city of 6,000 people, located in Wise County. It's home to around 6,000, something else. There is from Lisa Shelley's noted book, Bigfoot, Our Backyard Bigfoot, talks about this area also having hot spots of high Bigfoot activity.
So, okay. Okay.
There's also a lot of ghost in Aurora.
So,
a town of 1,500 people.
It's hitting all the paranormal, like,
yeah, so that's what,
monikers.
When we talk about a window area, that's kind of what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I don't know if Ned was Ned.
Ooh, so were you thinking more like the interdimensional kind of thing?
What if Ned was a time traveler?
Oh, time traveler.
Ned was, and I don't know, with window areas, I kind of wonder, I don't want to ruin too much.
Well, it's not
we're going to really dive into time soon.
I was going to say, it's not necessarily a window just for like dimensions or different places, but time windows.
I think it's time.
Yeah.
And I think there's old and new stuff punching through. And I kind of wonder if Ned's from 2000 or 2180.
Okay.
It was a kid flying in a saucer. Like, that's just a toy they have.
Okay.
And disappeared and died. You know, I don't know. I don't know. The window areas, John Keel talked about these a lot. Like, Aurora just has strange stuff stacked on top of strange stuff. I might be wrong. How many? Will you look up how many people Aurora, Texas has?
Okay, the population. Because right now I've been looking up.
Go ahead then. What do you have?
Well, I'm trying to... I mean, I'm not finding anything quite yet. I'm trying to look up the geology of Texas and specifically the Aurora area. But right now, it's that area on this map that I found from the, what is this called? There's a Texas Almanac geological map of Texas, but that specific area is from, it's showing like the Cretaceous Mesozoic area, those rock formations
in that. The ocean.
In that area. So I was just looking.
I was right, by the way.
Is it? Okay.
1,400 people.
It's like us.
No, it's like us without the college.
Right.
That's a big difference.
Big difference. You're right.
So they have 1,400 people and have rougarous, werewolves, ghost cats, werecats, giant cats, Bigfoot, ghost, and Ned the alien.
And Ned. It's got all of them.
I don't know what this is. I have no idea. I don't think people in the paranormal say that enough.
They don't know what it is? Yes. Yeah. No, well, they always have to have an answer for everything.
And I do. I do that. That's what the end of these episodes are.
No, I know. But sometimes you gotta be able to say, I don't know.
If it was just Ned, that's one thing. When you peel back the curtain, and I'm just telling you, we just did a cursory last 10 minutes of just what Micah Hanks and Nick Redfern and some of these other researchers have looked into it. Aurora's 1,400 people has had... dozens of different phenomena, very much like, I think Micah said it perfectly, the John Keel's window area. Point Pleasant is the dramatic example of that, with Men in Black and Ghost, you know, all this stuff.
All of it, yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about Ned?
Do I believe it?
Yeah.
Part of me wants to. I want to believe in Ned. But like you said at the very, very beginning of the game of telephone,
I think can be the a problem. Story has been
modified or... Yes.
Maybe not purposeful.
No.
Like you said, the game of telephone, nobody messes up on purpose.
Well...
What's, you know, kids do.
Yes.
But, you
the
know,
point of the game is to not mess up.
And psychological.
But it telephone. Happens. Yeah.
It's generations. We're talking five generations?
Mm-hmm.
100+ years.
Okay.
You're going to have people messing up the story, little bits here and there, and that adds up over time.
Right. Absolutely. Especially if it's getting retold and retold and retold. It's going to happen every time.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think I'm with you. I believe something crashed there.
Like, I want to believe.
I believe something crashed there.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a body. I don't know if it was Ned. You know, I want to believe the town was very nice about it. And they cared because they fought against the exhuming of the grave. But was that for publicity? Was that for so the joke isn't over?
To keep it going?
Or was that because they genuinely cared about whatever Ned was?
Mm-hmm.
I think either are likely.
The part of me that wants to believe and kind of believe it is real is just the descriptions back then from the 1800s of, like, the shape of the craft and just all the things add up to, like, modern-day sightings. It's just weird being that old and it's still the same.
But is that rewriting?
Okay, there you go. Yeah, you can't trust.
Or is that because it got popular? Not popular. It got rebrought up in the 40s.
Right, and retold and fixed with newer details.
I've said it before. Watch the docudrama Project Blue Book. There's a lot of stuff messed up in it,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of gives you a good idea of how this stuff was happening in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and on.
At the time of it, at a time.
When they started digging up all these old ones.
Right, yeah.
And reconnecting all these dots and stuff like that. But are you painting the Ned story from the 50s flavor?
Right, exactly.
And so the craft maybe didn't look exactly like that. So they're like, but they want it to fit their, I don't know, you know, there's a lot.
Fits the modern narrative.
Fits that researcher's narrative.
Right, exactly.
Not pointing fingers at anybody.
No.
But we all do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We all have an idea in our mind, and it's hard. It's very, very hard when you do research apply that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But yeah. So there you go. The story of Ned, our final normal episode of the season.
All right, Ned.
We still have a couple, like a Wednesday and a short episode on Monday, and then...
Season finale.
Rocking and rolling season
finale.
Hope you
guys are ready.
Hope you like quantum physics. I hope you like time. I hope you like feathers. I don't know.
And I hope you come out to the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree October 5th.
Yes, we will not
buy tickets. They're selling out very fast.
I think there's only like 20 of them left.
Yeah, they're going to be gone here soon.
Yeah, no way. It's especially when people buy like 6 or 10 of them at a time.
Yeah.
That's happened. Well, all right. I have been the great and powerful season 5.
Yes.
Season 5, Mr. E.
Oh, and I've been Jay.
We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribbins the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.